stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Handoff Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 87 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. It's been a bit since I've talked about them, but if you need gifts for the special sports fan in your life, use our code over with Fanatics. All you need to do is go over to Certified Shit, that's CertifiedSH.IT, to let them know that, hey, we're the ones that referred you. Our Fanatics referral code is what has gotten us so many giveaways of awesome Fanatics gear over on the South Harmon channels. So go over to Fanatics, use Certified Shit, that's CertifiedSH.IT, in order to let them know that we sent you, and go get those amazing jerseys, hats, memorabilia, whatever it is that you want to get for that special sports fan in your life. This week, I want to talk about a topic that kind of got on my mind when I was listening to some other pods earlier this week. And I think it's a great thing to think about here as we're getting into the playoffs, getting towards the end of the year, and starting to look forward towards next year. If you are not stuck in the thralls of making sure that your teams are going to advance to the next rounds of the playoffs. What that topic is I'm going to call my theory on the dynasty cycle. Now, I'm not talking just an individual year cycle. I'm talking a multi-year, a long-term cycle, a cycle that would be so long that in my experience of playing dynasty football the past 5 years, I haven't fully seen it complete the entire cycle all the way around. And I think what it is it's something that is driven by how people bias themselves based on data around fantasy football. When I first started playing Dynasty, the predominant strategy that you could utilize in order to get an edge on your fellow league mates was any running back on a 53. If you rostered a bunch of running backs, you could sub them into your lineup. You would get what you need out of those guys due to random injuries happening over the course of the season. And because you had the strong players at the other positions, you had a very strong chance of winning your championship. At the very least, you were one of the top contenders if you weren't outright winning. As time went on, everyone started to pick up on that strategy. And so the next thing that happened was people realized, hey, I can use all these backup quarterbacks. All these backup quarterbacks, you could go out, you could get these backup quarterbacks, you could get them onto your team. It was now any QB on a two deep. And what was great about that was in all your super flex leagues, you weren't needing to invest a ton of value into the quarterback position. You were just investing the roster spots that you could not fill due to the lack of running backs that you had on your team. Well, fast forward to this year. The lesson a lot of people are learning from this year is that the wide receivers are a position that you can stream as well. You can get guys off the waiver wire. You can understand based on wide receivers who get injured, based on one-off usage patterns for maybe a couple weeks when somebody's out for injury and things like that, that, hey, this is somebody who's going to have an opportunity. And because of the wide receiver volatility, you're able to get equivalent production to some of the mid-range wide receivers, which is exactly what we would be doing with the quarterbacks and running backs, out of wide receivers who are on the waiver wire. And so I see this as something where we are coming full circle, where we started with people were having a bunch of wide receivers, and then people were having a bunch of running backs, people were having a bunch of quarterbacks. The only position that we don't have in this entire cycle is the tight end position. And I think that's just because in most of our leagues, we end up in a situation where the tight ends score so little compared to the other positions that it never makes sense to be rostering a ton of tight ends, and that playing a tight ends don't matter style strategy can always work. So when I'm looking at that, I'm looking at this cycle between these three positions, looking at these trends that have come up over the past couple of years. It makes me think that there's this cycle, something where we're going to be able to just watch everybody react to the previous season, react to what happened, and think that, hey, this is how it's going to go the next year. And while everyone wants to say, hey, I'm agnostic to last year, I'm not going to overreact, the tendency is going to be to overreact, and especially when you get multiple years in a row of that happening. As an example, this year and the year prior, the trend has been that running backs are not getting injured quite at the rate as they were previous years. So if you went a full zero RB strategy, you ended up in a situation where you were struggling to find the guys in order to fill in your lineups. Whereas just a few years ago, you could have gone a full zero RB strategy, and by the time you get midway to the season, you probably not only have at least two guys going in your lineup, you probably have multiple guys going into your flexes because you just have an overwhelming number of running backs, assuming you went ahead and you'd been rostering 10 to 15 of those guys. So when we're looking at that kind of macro trend, a lot of people are going to say, it's very, very hard to play the zero RB strategy because not as many of these guys are getting injured and not as many of these guys are going to be available for you to pick up onto your team. There's not this efficiency that you saw 4 or 5 years ago. And so the question becomes, how much of that efficiency can we get back from this cycle of what we're seeing? What we're seeing this season is a lot of these other wide receivers are players that you can get onto your roster and who you can get off of the waiver wire. Well, the thing that we all learn from all this waiver wire stuff is that the following season, we're going to see more of those players rostered onto people's teams. People are going to look back and they're going to say, okay, who was it that was on waivers that somebody else was able to get and who worked out really well for them? And they're going to look at all of these receivers and they're going to go, you know, those are the guys that I need to have on my team. And we're going to see an influx of more people rostering wide receivers this season or next season compared to this season, especially when we look at the beginning of the year. But something is going to have to give every single time. Every single time we make one of these changes, something gives. And so it started with, you know, all those running backs at the beginning. When people started rostering a bunch of running backs, it became hard to gain the efficiency of the running backs. And so people realized, hey, the quarterbacks are available, so let's go roster all the quarterbacks. Well, all those quarterbacks got rostered. And if all those quarterbacks got rostered and all those running backs got rostered, well, guess what? Now all the wide receivers are not rostered. That's what's opening up this opportunity for all the people this season that are playing the waiver wire at the wide receiver position in order to be able to get those wide receivers they need onto their teams. Thinking about it, I'm realizing that this is part of what somebody like Tommy Blair is leaning into. Tommy Blair talks about how he looks for the edges that his league mates give him. He goes against the portfolio players by recognizing, hey, this is what they're doing. I'm going to do the counter strategy to what they're doing. The counter strategy to the portfolio player who's doing quarterbacks and running backs is to be like, okay, you're leaving all this wide receiver value on the table. I'm going to take advantage of that. I'm going to hamper your ability to play the quarterbacks and running back backup strategies by playing it myself, and understand that I can play a wide receiver strategy off of the waiver wire to fill my wide receiver three spot. Potentially even fill my flexes with that. And it's that counter strategy that a portfolio player is going to take longer to catch on to, and is also going to take that portfolio player more time to really apply to all of their leagues. They might apply it here and there as, you know, things just come up in their leagues. They might be like, man, the best thing I can do for this team is just to go grab that wide receiver off of waivers. But it's not until they make the switch in their head of, oh, you know what? I need to go and get these wide receivers off of waivers and be aggressive about it because that's the strategy that my team is actually employing for me, that they're going to be able to take advantage of that. And then by the time they get to there, the difference between them and somebody like Tommy Blair is that Tommy Blair has put his value back into getting top-tier quarterbacks, top-tier running backs, and having like two top-tier wide receivers. So that way, that third wide receiver spot, that's your waiver wide receiver. But he has top-tier players at all the other positions. If you were playing the normal portfolio player strategy, and you had a deep stable of quarterbacks, well, that quarterback two spot that you were filling is somebody who's not as good as Tommy's second quarterback. So when you start playing in the same backup wide receiver waters as him, and you're playing in the same backup quarterback waters as him that he's trying to box you out of, then you're still already behind him in the quality of your quarterback. You're behind him in the quality of your running backs. And so he has the quality, and he's boxing you out of the quantity. And it's that kind of thing where somebody who is ahead of the cycle has identified the efficiency that you see in the dynasty market and the dynasty space, is able to take advantage of the masses, is able to take advantage of the people that are trying to employ what I'll call the common strategies in their dynasty leagues. So the thing that we need to do, if we're trying to be the best dynasty managers, is to find a way to get ahead. Find a way to make sure that we are recognizing what efficiencies are available to us. What are our league mates leaving on the table? And how are we able to make sure that our team is taking advantage of those before our league mates are forced to take advantage of them? How can we make sure we've boxed them out of the most optimal strategy by already positioning ourselves to be in that strategy before anybody else has realized that it is optimal? Now, I'd love to be here and say that I understand where the optimal quarterback strategy is going to be, and understand that, hey, I know exactly how you want to be doing your running backs this upcoming season, how to do your wide receivers, things like that. But I also know that I am not the person that I think can best answer that question. I think you need to look to some other minds in the space for that. But what I can do is say that if you are listening to somebody who thinks that the trend for next year is going to be the backup wide receiver strategy, I agree. That is going to be the trend. People are going to play in those backup wide receiver waters. They're going to get dried up very quickly. And all the efficiency that you saw from those people playing it this year is not going to exist next year unless they're playing it optimally in that they have top-tier running backs, top-tier quarterbacks, potentially a top-tier tight end, and that they have a stable of wide receivers. Because now they're going to need that stable. They're going to need to play matchups. They're going to need to be doing essentially the wide receiver X, where you're just subbing in wide receivers based on matchup in order to make sure that you have the optimal guy in there on a week-to-week basis. That is not something that you had to do this year, because those wide receivers that you could get who could be part of your stable, they were in their waiver wires before you needed them. You were able to just go out and get them for free. They're not going to be there by the time we get to next year. So the question becomes, what does it take to get ahead? My guess is it becomes some kind of efficiency game where if you are going to be playing any one of these positions, it's going to depend on your league, depend on how people are built. There is some amount of inertia that I have noticed where if you set yourself up to be the absolute top tier optimal any QB on a two deep team, you got, let's say, 8 of the top 12 backups in the league. Well, that's what you're aiming for. That was the efficiency you could essentially get when you first implemented the strategy. And so you can keep implementing that. Same thing goes with the backup running backs. If you have a bunch of backup running backs around the NFL, yes, some running backs are going to go down. You can keep up with a zero RB strategy if you have all the 1Bs and you're just waiting to figure out which 1As go down with injury. So if you have a team already built like that, you can take advantage of that in your league because you already have that advantage in your market. The question becomes, what if you don't? How do you gain an advantage like that? And we've cycled through all the positions now. People are familiar with the any running back on a 53. They're familiar with any QB on a 2 deep. They're going to be familiar with whatever this wide receiver strategy we want to call it is. And we're out of different positions. There's not going to be any tight end who catches a touchdown. That's essentially already what we have, where the tight ends, they are just bad enough for fantasy purposes that unless you have a high tight end PPR, you don't need to invest in the tight end position. So we need to find this efficiency somewhere else. And I think we're getting to the point where the dynasty space is smart enough that you're going to have to start looking at things on a league by league basis. There's going to be some macro trends, and those macro trends are probably going to be reacting to the previous season and what worked well there and things like that. But I think we're reaching the point where an overarching strategy is a dominant strategy that you can just employ. Something where a portfolio player like me could make 30 teams exactly the same and just roll with them and know when I look at any one of them that I just need to do a similar thing to what I've been doing with all the other ones in my portfolio. I'm going to have some teams where the league takes advantage of of all the quarterbacks that are available on the waiver wire. And okay, I am not able to get those quarterbacks off the waiver wire. I need to get some other position. Or I have a league where all the managers are fighting over the running backs, so maybe that's the one where I can get the quarterbacks or I can get the wide receivers. But it's going to be identifying what is available for those cheaper players and what is available to substitute into my lineup to get me those higher-end players that I need at the other positions. So maybe there's a macro trend that is going to be available for us. maybe there's going to be something that we can continue to take advantage of. And I'm sure there are some smart people out there that are going to be the ones that can identify that for us. And if you listen to the right people, they might be able to tell you before it comes, hey, this is the optimal strategy for this upcoming season. However, I think that we're moving to a different kind of era in our dynasty game. We're going from the overarching, we're figuring out each position one after another and figuring out the optimal way to play each position, to now we're moving towards that all of those strategies are well known. All of those things are stuff that our league mates are already taking advantage of. And instead, identifying where our league mates are screwing it up is going to be the optimal play. And there might be something industry-wide. I think there definitely could be a correction where, hey, people stop rostering as many running backs. And when we end up with a season where we get a bunch of running back injuries, that strategy takes a huge comeback. We've seen with the quarterbacks this season that anybody that's been playing the backup quarterback strategy, you've had plenty of top-tier backup quarterbacks get those starting opportunities for you. If you're well-positioned in order to take advantage of those, you've had a great season. But it's those kinds of things that are going to vary on a year-to-year basis. Sometimes the NFL is just going to do different things for us. And as time goes on, different things are going to happen as well. We've seen that running backs are not getting hurt near as much as they used to because they aren't getting as many carries. We're seeing a lot more split backfields and things like that. Being able to recognize those kinds of trends, how they fit in with your leagues, and making sure you're able to take advantage of when those trends change, when those things differ across the NFL, is going to be the next phase of dynasty football that we all know and love. So that's some food for thought from this week. This is going to be the last podcast episode of the year. I'm going to be taking off for the fantasy playoffs and around the holidays, and I'll come back to you sometime early next year. Before I let you go, though, I need to give us one last tight ends don't matter here for week 15. I'll keep track of it for week 16 and 17 to do a recap episode sometime next spring. But for week 15, if you've been tracking the waiver wire pod, you might know that Michael Mayer is coming back. That was the reason that we had Ian Thomas the week before. So Ian Thomas is now out for us. And the only dynasty tight ends that we have available are Ben Sinnott and John Bates. And the unfortunate part about Sinnott is that he's still rostered high enough that he's actually not eligible for the tight ends don't matter strategy. So therefore, John Bates is going to be the tight ends that we're going with this week. He did play a lot more snaps than Ben Sinnott did last week, and we should see if John Bates is in fact the guy who, because he's going to hopefully be playing enough, that he'll be getting us some amount of points. That's all that I have for this week. Good luck in the fantasy playoffs. Have good holidays. And as always, make sure to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next year.